Thank you so much. Mino Gijageb, I send you respectful greetings in my indigenous language and offer sincere gratitude for the opportunity to address this body today. My name is Rochelle Diver. I am an Anishinaabe woman. We are the water bearers of our communities and the caretakers of the rivers, lakes, and streams. My nation, Fond du Lac Band of Lake Superior Ojibwe, is named after the mighty Gichigumi, known today as Lake Superior. Unfortunately, this freshwater lake, one of the deepest in the world, is filled with microplastics contaminating our food sources, bodies, and brains. More than 22 million pounds of plastic pollution end up in the Great Lakes every year. Researchers have found stunningly high amounts of microplastics in all five of the Great Lakes, which provide drinking water for 40 million people. They found microplastics in Great Lakes fish and our other water-based food systems, impacting our subsistence ways of life. All of these things are a threat to our health, but also to our culture. Our babies are being born pre-polluted with chemicals, heavy metals, and now plastics, impacting their brain development, which will impact their ability to retain our stories, our languages, and to keep our traditional knowledge intact. Indigenous peoples are deeply impacted by the plastics crisis globally, from production throughout the full cycle. In North America, maybe not as commonly known as an impact of fossil fuel extraction, are what are called man camps that come along with extractive sites and fossil fuel extraction and carbon capture and pipelines, pipeline areas. It has instigated a crisis that's called the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women's Crisis in the US and Canada. And it's been happening for about 10 years now. And it's directly related to the topics that we're here to discuss today. Chemical processing facilities and the frontline and fenceline communities that surround them are many times found in Indigenous peoples' territories, such as the Haudenosaunee community of Kahnawake, where they breathe in toxic chemicals daily. In this regard, I call your attention to Article 29.2 of the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, which reads, "States shall take effective measures to ensure that no storage or disposal of hazardous materials shall take place in the lands or territories of Indigenous peoples without their free, prior, and informed consent." This is not something that's being adhered to currently. At the negotiations, we also heard from our brothers and sisters in Rapa Nui and the Galapagos that deal with floating plastics that impacts their fisheries, food systems, and ecosystems, where they are, and I quote, "drowning in plastics." In the Arctic, the production and use of fossil fuels is the starting point for many problems faced by Arctic peoples related to plastics, chemicals, and climate change. More than 16,000 chemicals are used in plastics, 25% known to be toxic, and 66% lack hazard information. Plastics and chemicals are produced all over the world, deposit and accumulate in the Arctic, making the Arctic what's called a hemispheric sink for chemicals and plastics. The concentration of plastics and chemicals threatens food security, environment, and Arctic people's health, where they are not usually located by either the extraction site or the production site, but still bear a great brunt of this problem that we're here to discuss today. The harmful chemicals that are known to persist in the environment land in the Arctic. Plastics also emit chemicals into the environment and transport to the Arctic and other remote areas far, far from the production sites through transboundary movement. Evidence shows that climate warming exacerbates the threats to the Arctic from the chemicals and plastics and accelerates the rate at which these materials move and accumulate there. It's important to point out that their food systems are based in the water, and they're now pulling in animals that are completely contaminated with chemicals, persistent organic pollutants, and microplastics. leaving them having to choose between their subsistence lifestyles or feeding their families at the risk of cancers and other health related, other health issues and severe intergenerational impacts. The lack of ambition by some states to address plastics pollution in its full lifestyle at this recent fifth session was disheartening, including the deletion of the reference to the rights of Indigenous peoples in the current chair's text, leaving only extractive references to our traditional and Indigenous knowledge without any safeguards in relation to self-determination and free, prior, and informed consent. Indigenous peoples do have solutions to share, but this must come with respecting and upholding our rights as encompassed in the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. Indigenous rights are human rights, and our future generations deserve a future free of toxic and plastic contamination. In closing, I greatly appreciate the opportunity to be here today. We hope engagement of Indigenous peoples can continue throughout the drafting process of your report. And please know that the Indigenous Caucus, now known as the International Indigenous Forum on Plastics, are here to support the study in any way we can. Chi Miigwech, an abundance of thanks for listening and for having us here today.